Well, today, as Don has said, I want to consider the issue of the future and particularly how we plan for our futures. I think everyone here would know that the future is a big unknown, isn't it? The weather can give us drought or flood. The markets can go up or down. You might win a contract, lose a job, pass an exam, or lose a dear friend, all in one week. In the context of this uncertainty, we make our plans. For example, I'm always planning ahead because I have so many things I have to juggle, things for work here at St Alfred's, things for the wider church, for our family diary, not least of I have three children who have growing and separate diaries, as it seems. At our church board meetings, we're even considering a 10-year budget. Now, I just can't quite get my head around that, to know what we might be doing in 10 years, but it's a way of helping us plan for the more immediate future. Everyone here, I would imagine, is concerned about the future and about your planning. And as Christians, we should ask the question, how should we face the future? How should we think about the future? Can we just fill our diaries and wall planners the way we want, or does God have some say in that? Does God have some interest in that? Well, I'd like to look at this little interaction in James chapter 4, and you'll find an outline of what I'm going to say inside Contact, that little blue handout you're given, on page 3. Now, this early Christian writer in the Bible uses what I would imagine are a couple of businessmen to give us a little bit of an opening into the question of the future. And these businessmen, if you can imagine it, are having a planning meeting and trying to decide what they're going to do. And the gist of their planning meeting is quite short. I like this sort of meeting. It's a very short meeting. It lasts one verse, which I imagine takes no longer than what I'm about to say. Here's the meeting. Get the minutes and then put it into action. Today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. End of meeting. Let's go. Now, there's nothing terribly wrong with what they say. They've got a time frame, 12 months. They've got a target, this or that city. They haven't worked that out yet. A plan to do business and a purpose to make money. Now, the Bible doesn't condemn making a living, nor does it condemn planning for the future. But James has a couple of things to say about this little business plan, and I want us to consider that, because it suggests there are at least three mistakes that these fellows are making, and it raises the possibility that there are three better approaches to follow. Let's have a look at the first mistake that they're making. First mistake they're making is that they are taking tomorrow for granted. They're presuming on tomorrow. James says in verse 14, "You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? Your life is a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." So he's saying you can't presume on tomorrow because life is unpredictable and it's short. You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. None of us actually knows what's going to happen tonight or during the rest of today. I was on the road yesterday for about an hour and a half. Anything can happen when you're out there driving, can't it? We just don't know. Our lives might follow a nice steady course for a while and then something comes along and changes it. We know that things beyond our control change all the time. Governments change, wars start and finish, the planet warms, the population increases, jobs start and end. Life is unpredictable. We all know that. But he also says life is brief. He uses a word here that's not used very often in the New Testament, that our life is like a mist, which is consistent with what the Bible says in other places, that our life is just like a flower that grows and blooms and then the wind blows and it fades away. It's not very encouraging, is it? We don't like to think about that very often, that we're just a bit of temporary smoke, a bit of vapour here and then gone. But we do all know in our heart of hearts that we're only one heartbeat from eternity. We know that things could just happen and that might be the end of it. So we can't take tomorrow for granted. So what's the better approach? Well, the better approach is to trust God for today, right now. Jesus tells us to grab hold of the present and to live it God's way, right this minute, right today. Every day God is doing good things, amazing things, and he commands us, encourages us, calls us to join in what he's doing, and he says that's what life's about. Now, I'm referring here to what Jesus says in Matthew 6. He says, yes, we've got to put food on the table and pay our bills, but we're not to spend our lives worrying about those sorts of things. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Jesus asks in Matthew 6, verse 27. So the implication of what Jesus says is get involved with what God is doing, and that's what will fill your life and give your life meaning and purpose. Here's how he describes it in Matthew 6, verses 33 and 34. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things, all these other daily needs, will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. I think that's a great verse to have when you're going to sleep at night. Don't worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry about itself. Many people in Melbourne and indeed Western civilization complain that the thing they don't have enough of is time. Everybody seems to be in a rush. Everyone is pressured. And Jesus says, calm down and think about what God is doing today. Entrust yourself to God today. Seek after God's things today. And everything else will fall into place. So he wants us to change our focus from just meeting our needs, which is what fills a lot of our diaries, to seeking after the things of God. So we can't presume on tomorrow, so let's ensure we're doing God's business today. Wouldn't it be great if you die doing God's business? And we can all go, what a fantastic thing to be doing while this person died. So do God's business today and trust him for tomorrow. Now, the second mistake we can make is to plan without God. If you look at this business plan of these guys, there's not a single mention of God in the plan. They don't seem particularly interested in what God thought about their business plan. Verse 16 suggests, let me read it. As it is, you boast and brag about your plans, presumably, and all such boasting is evil. So it seems like their approach is, we're going to do this. Here is our plan. We're going to take the world. This is going to be the best product ever. We're going to build the biggest thing. And they couldn't care less what God is thinking about this. Now, I want you to notice a very important thing here. The Bible is not against planning. Luke 14, we see Jesus commending the person who plans carefully before going out to build a tower, lest he run out of money. The book of Proverbs says that if you don't plan, you're a fool. Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit. The plans of the diligent lead to profit. That's what these guys were interested in. The mistake is not planning, is not in the planning. The mistake is making the plans without any reference to God. Planning is not the problem, but planning without God is simply presumption. Now, even as a Christian, you can make this mistake. You may be a committed Christian and a regular attender at church, but you can subtly leave God out of your planning and become, in practice, an atheist. You might say, well, I believe in God, but then if I ask questions like, well, does God have any say in your business, in your decisions about your career or your choices of study or your choice of where you live or your direction in ministry or your plans about retirement or travel, then you'll start to wonder or ask questions yourself about how far you actually allow your faith in God to affect what you do. So if not, if God isn't part of your planning, then you're presuming on God. So here's a better approach to follow, which is quite obvious. Let's include God in our plans. James chapter 4, verse 15 says, I can see it, instead you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. If it is the Lord's will, we'll do this or that. Now note the word if. It re-emphasises that we can't take things for granted. We just don't know how it's going to turn out. And we're reminded that God knows the future, and if it is his will, then the things we're planning might work out. The starting point in facing the future is to say to God, God, what do you want me to do? What's your idea about this next step that I'm thinking about taking? Please show me if it's your will that I do this or that. Some Christians write the initials DV at the end of their emails, or they used to write it in ink with a quill centuries ago. They stand for the Latin phrase Deo Volente, meaning the Lord's, if it's the Lord's will, God willing. So, see you tomorrow, brackets, DV, close brackets. I'll see you tomorrow if it's God's will. Now, that could become a cliche, couldn't it? You could just sort of use that as a bit of jargon. But it's not meant as jargon in James. It's meant to characterise an attitude that we don't take things for granted, and we certainly don't take God's will for granted. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do. Proverbs 16:9 says, in their heart a person plans their course, but it's the Lord that determines their steps. In other words, we can plan and pray, but it is God who is in charge. Now, God is doing a lot of fantastic things. Pray that you will have a sense of what God wants you to be part of. He may be happy that you just keep living in the eastern suburbs doing what you're doing. God may actually call you to stay put and remain stable and contribute to the local community and this church and the relationships that you're in. But it may be that if you pause and ask God, well, what is your will for me, for us, that he might surprise you and ask you to do something different and new. A third common mistake is putting off doing good. The last verse in this little section says, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. A bit like Romans 7, isn't it? James is talking about procrastination here. It's a little poem. Procrastination is my sin. It only caused me sorrow. I know I ought to change my ways. In fact, I will. Tomorrow. When you put off doing good things, James says that's actually a sin. We often think of sin as the things we do. And we probably think of terrible things, like the things that the Ten Commandments talk about, adultery and stealing and all of those sorts of things. But James is actually saying you can sin by not doing things. Not doing the good things that God shows you to do is a sin. I can do nothing and still be sinning. Now, Christianity is more than simply not doing things. It's more than simply don't do this, don't do that. Because if all you had to do to be a Christian was not do anything, then everyone who is dead would be a Christian, because they're not doing anything. Christianity is more than that. It's about doing the good that God has shown you to do. Procrastination is a subtle trap. It's the land of someday I'll get round to it. One day, maybe soon, or one day somewhere in the future, I'll get this sorted out. I'll organise this. I'll do that. So a better approach, obviously, is to do it now. Proverbs 3:27-28 talks about helping. It says, do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbour, come back later, I'll give it to you tomorrow, when you have it in you to do it now. If you can do something good, then do it now. Jesus, remember, tells a story about a master giving people some talents, which is some money, and telling them to use it for good. And the one he tells off is the one who does nothing. Remember, the third servant just buries the money and does nothing with it. And he is described as wicked. It was wicked that he just wasted his life and wasted what God had given him. That's the same sort of idea as James is talking about. Whatever God is asking you to do, get on and do it. You can't presume on tomorrow. He may be asking you to pray for a non-Christian friend. Well, do it. Maybe suggesting you get involved with something at church. Do it. Maybe asking you to step into leadership in some form. Well, do it. Maybe asking you to make some sort of relationship better. Well, do it. It may be that some of you here this morning haven't even yet got yourself right with God. You don't know yet where you stand with God. The Bible says, now is the time of God's favour. Now is the day of salvation. You can get right with God today. Why wait till you die? That would just be a waste of your life. So let me sum up. Do you have a tendency to take tomorrow for granted? Are you running so hard working and studying and just doing stuff that you haven't got time to just stop and think that today might be your last day? Well, you need to take some time to think about your relationships with God and your family and your friends, and need to learn to just trust God for today. Try and see what God wants you to do today, and then enjoy whatever it is that God shows you to do, and not take tomorrow for granted. Trust God today. Secondly, what are your plans for the future? Do you just fill up your diary and your wall planners and then think, oh God, please bless this holiday I've just written in? Or God, please bless this activity I've just written in? Or do you actually ask God before you fill in, what would he have you do? So I want to encourage you to pray quite specifically about the things that are in your future, your plans for work or career or study or retirement, your plans to move house or not move house, your plans to get married or start a relationship or stay single, your plans for how you want to raise your children and choose schools, your plans to travel or retire or be in ministry and mission, your financial plans and your plans to give money away. God is interested in all your plans. Pray about those. Seek God's will. There may be people here today who are really troubled because they believe all this, they just don't know what God wants you to do. And I encourage you today maybe to pray at the end of the service with someone or come forward and we'll pray with you. Finally, what good things have you been putting off? James says, do it now, don't wait. Someday may be too late. There are many opportunities to do good, and it will give you such joy to do it. So James is saying, get on with it. Get involved in what God is doing. Don't wait. Summary of today's sermon is written for you in contact. How do we face the future? By trusting our whole lives to God, asking him what he wants us to do, and then doing it. Pretty simple. The hard part is in the doing it, which is consistent with James, isn't it? Don't be hearers of the word, be doers of the word.